Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome to Overnight America. I almost went into the Ghostbusters theme. I read online, Ivan Reitman's son, Jason, is going to bring the franchise back to the original universe, meaning forget that lousy rendition that came out last year or 2 years ago with the female staff. They always got to try to flip turn things to make it fresh. It was terrible. Oh, man. I grew up in the 80s. Ghostbusters were my jam. So excited to see they're bringing back the original storyline for the Ghostbusters. Oh, man. I'm telling you, that's exciting. I just saw that online. Maybe we'll talk about it later. But that was my inspiration for the opening that included the great theme song. If I ever get a chance to interview Chevy Chase, I will ask him if he still gets residuals from that song, because in the official music video, he's in there. They have some celebrities that make cameos. And I thought, I wonder if he gets a check maybe once a year for, you know, 85 cents for his one line where he says Ghostbusters in there. Lots to get to. Chris Raby is going to join us this hour talking about the Cardinals caravan and the winter warm-up that's happening this weekend. I can't believe we're so close to the start of baseball. Woo! Have you seen the Gillette toxic masculinity ad that's out? I want to talk about that, too. And an open invite to one of the great sports broadcasters. If he ever wants to come back to KMOX, I want to give my pitch to that as well. Lots to get to. And, man, so much to do on the show. So much to do. So much to see. So much wrong with it. What's that one song, the Smash Mouth? Maybe I'm just a little too hyped. I drank a lot of coffee today. But we have some great interviews lined up. In fact, you can get the podcast once we air this program at KMOX.com. Better yet, if you have the Radio.com app, just search for Overnight America. You can get it all right there whenever you want. So I wanted to start with a story that was on KMOX.com. What idiot would hop on the top of their car when they're driving down 64? Seriously. So there's a video you can actually check out now that's gone viral. So there they are driving down 64. All right. And there are two people twerking on the top of this vehicle driving down the interstate. Seriously.
Seriously.
Seriously. No joke. That's exactly my reaction to it.
Seriously.
The woman that caught them driving, it's the the woman that caught them driving was recording and filming this. There was one person that was halfway out the passenger side window with their cell phone filming them as two women were on the top of this vehicle, shaking their rear ends or whatever. If you don't know what twerking is, it has become popular in the sense where people know what it is because of Miley Cyrus. But that was a few years back. I didn't know people still did that. I thought it was just, you know, it's around for a couple of months and then the high schoolers did it. And then it got the older generation, the college and the 20s and 30-year-olds. And once the moms start doing it, then the high school kids stop doing it. And I thought it was out of our system by now. I didn't know people still did that sort of thing. But there they are on top of this vehicle. The two can be seen dancing on top of the SUV with a third person taking the photos and videos. And there I am watching from the sideline.
Stop it.
That's exactly what I was saying. Exactly. Then it shows them climbing back into the vehicle. I hope they identify who these kids are. Obviously, you don't want to publicly shame them, but I hope it's enough where their parents could find out. And I hope their parents take this seriously and privately shame them hard. This is their lives. What would happen if they fell off this SUV? Road conditions aren't that great. What happens if the car loses their, or someone stops in front of them, or they lose control, or they hit some ice, hit some snow? What if there's some debris that pops up and flies up? Anything that happens. Now imagine, because of this distraction, someone else gets into an accident, and they could be held responsible for that. What if they have to you know, the one knucklehead or one of them falls off the top, causes another car to swerve, and they crash into someone else. And all of a sudden, there's another family that's hurt. Just unbelievable that anyone would think this is something they should do. Just unbelievable. They could fall off the car. It's a dangerous situation for themselves. Could be a fatality involved. A spokesperson told KSDK, the police department, St. Louis Metro Police Department, said they're looking into it. Very concerning. Illegal, of course. So stupid. Just so stupid. There was another presser I got in my email. I get these press releases every once in a while. And sometimes they're like, whoa, why in the world would I talk about that? Not all that interesting. And then sometimes it grabs my attention because it's food related. If you're someone that enjoys food, Sugar Fire, man, does it get any better than that? The reason I ask is because I love the place. And just recently, they created a new burger that apparently won them some accolades at the World Food Championship this past November. I think we might have talked about this, but when I found out about this, it's called the Cuban Reuben. Perfect combination of smoked ham, mustard, pulled pork, pastrami, Swiss, placed between two sourdough grilled cheese sandwiches and topped with a pickle. I love that idea. Doesn't that sound good? That's legit. Do they still do the St. Lunatic burger, the one where the buns are Emo's pizza slices? I hope they do. Man, that was a great idea. But they talk about the person that put that together. You know, they won, I think, a prize for that. Only one competitor will leave with $100,000. I think they might have won 10 grand for that one sandwich. Yeah. Chef David Molina crowned the 2018 World Sandwich Champion. We got to get them. I got to go try that sometime. Man, that just sounds great. All right, so Chris Raby is going to join us next. I want to talk about the winter warm-up. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a perfect addition to the ballpark. If they're looking for submissions this year, if they want to get some sort of unique taste to St. Louis like they tried last year, oh, man, wouldn't that be great? They need to get some sort of crafted burger from Sugar Fire and get that chef involved. Man, how would you like to go to the ballpark and slam one of those down? There's a lot of things I enjoy at the ballpark. I always get my kid one of those baseball caps full of ice cream. That's a guarantee. We got about 80 of these, these plastic caps laying around the house after we take them home. But I would get that burger every time. Can't get enough of that. All right, let's talk some baseball coming up on Overnight America KMOX.
News at the top of every hour. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
What makes you think I can sing this song? Why would I even attempt it? All right, let me try it. This could be really bad. Oh, that wasn't it. I almost said it. Okay, so it's not yet. So you're saying every word's Roxanne? All right. Wait, this isn't the real song. This is just bumper music. The actual words are cut out of it. I can't sing along with it. Why would you set me up for it? I can't do this karaoke alone. All right, let me try here.
Roxanne!
It's pretty good, right? Maybe I should get into the karaoke business. What am I doing? Wasting my time here. What, you're saying I wouldn't be able to sing for a living? Yikes, what a realization I've never thought of. Whew. You think I can play ball? You think I can go out there and hit some dingers? Go out there and hit some home runs? You think, what would happen if you're standing at the plate and a 100-mile fastball, 100-mile-an-hour fastball whizzes by your head? That's enough for you to just drop the bat and say, I'm not even trying, I'm out of here. Because all it takes is one of those to the head and you're done for life. You know, my brother-in-law used to play baseball when he was in high school, and they were pretty good. And it only took one time for him as a pitcher to get hit in the head to never want to play again. He would play, but he was always scared of the ball after that. So it ruined his ability to play. Every time the ball would get close, you know, he was very shaky with it. And it just completely shakes you enough where you're different after that. So I think I don't even need to be hit in the face with a ball. I think just the idea of a 100-mile-an-hour baseball whizzing by my body within inches is enough for me to say, I quit. I can't handle that sort of thing. Just can't do it. But then again, if I signed a $10 million contract and got beamed in the head and couldn't play anymore, then maybe I wouldn't complain so much. Maybe it would take the sting away a little bit. Oh, I love baseball talk. Chris Raby coming up to the start of the baseball season. Very exciting time for St. Louis. How many days till pitchers catchers report? It's like a month and a half or something? It's real close.
Oh, less than that, like 28, I want to say. I think it's February 12th.
Amazing, isn't
it? Yeah, it's great. And I mean, it always flies by. It means that, yeah, you know, baseball is close. Warm weather is close. So no complaints here.
This is kind of the start. The caravan seems like it's the first step to the start of the season.
Yeah, winter warm-up, of course, and the Cardinal caravan. So will be events this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, in downtown St. Louis at Hyatt Regency at the Arch. And, of course, yeah, the six caravans going out to, like, six different states this weekend. I'm on one of those on Sunday and Monday. So it's cool, man. It's great to see just the passion of Cardinal fans year-round. And, you know, it's a lot of fun for us to get to talk baseball and be part of a great event for a great cause.
So the new big acquire, Paul Goldschmidt, is he going to be there this weekend?
Yes, he will.
Ooh, that's
He'll
huge.
Be here on Saturday.
He's a everything I can tell.
Andrew Miller as well, yeah.
Everything I can tell, these are some awesome dudes to have in St. Louis.
Yeah, and I think everyone's excited. Like that's the thing. And about Goldschmidt, too, he's such an unbelievable player and on the field, but you know, everyone says he's an even better person off the field, and you know what he does in the community, and how he was involved in Arizona, and you know the ways that he would give back. So, you know, I think you're obviously thrilled about the kind of player you're getting, but everyone says you're just as excited about the kind of person you're getting. So, yeah, that'll be great. I think that Cardinal fans will be excited to see him introduced on Saturday. Andrew Miller as well, who is one of the prizes of the free agent relief crop. And yeah, it's always fun to see these guys for the first time. You know, for most of the players on the team, if not all of them, it's, you know, their first chance to meet some of their new teammates as well. So that's kind of cool.
Do you take on the karaoke challenge with Adam Wainwright that Friday night?
I will not be doing that. We did have Adam on the show last week to talk about that. He does some really cool things to raise money for his foundation, Big League Impact, and they're raising money this year to feed 100 needy families in St. Louis. So I know that's
awesome.
Dave and Buster's on Friday night. A lot of the guys will do really cool charity stuff over the weekend while they're in town. It's great.
So what's your role? What do you do this weekend?
So on Saturday, we will be broadcasting from Hyatt Regency from 11 to 1. I will be there. We'll be talking to players, coaches, whoever. From 1 to 3, I'm up on the stage with the Cardinals talking to guys. I think we're going to introduce Andrew Miller and Paul Goldschmidt. Dan McLaughlin is going to be with me for an hour up on stage as well. And then I'll leave on the caravan on Sunday morning. We'll go to four different cities on Sunday and Monday. We'll go with some of the players and some of the alumni and have a little Q&A in each stop and sign some autographs in each stop and take some pictures. So it's a busy weekend. A lot of baseball.
So, Chris Raby, bring me behind the scenes. You hop on the bus. You start traveling to some of these locations. What do the players do on the bus?
Hang out. It's a really huge, awesome, super nice bus, like nicer than my apartment. like one of these buses that, like, you know, they rock stars or big musical acts take all over the country. So, you know, some couches, recliners in the back, TVs everywhere, couches, kind of a little kitchen in front. So, you know, we'll watch movies,
sports movies,
relax, watch football if that's on Sunday, chill out. I think some guys will play cards. You know, these guys are used to being on the road. They're used to traveling. But, yeah, it's really nice. It's a good deal. These buses are awesome. I can travel like that all the time.
I've only seen the photos of them. But, man, people ride in style anymore. It's amazing.
Dude, they're pretty nice.
A lot different than in high school when you hopped on that bus. You didn't know if it was going to start up.
Yeah, I could get used to I could get used to that.
So that really leads up to the start of the year. So the winter warm-up this weekend. I think, are there still tickets available for that?
Yeah. And, again, there are still some autograph tickets available. The actual, you know, autograph tickets based on what players you would want to see, and you know, those sell out kind of quickly. But come on down. It's pretty incredible, the events and kind of the different seminars and breakout sessions that they have, and just the amount of people that show up and show up in the middle of January and want to talk baseball. And then still tickets and tables available for the Baseball Writers Dinner, which is on Sunday night, and another great part of the weekend. So, you know, it's awesome to be talking to baseball and celebrating baseball and getting ready for the Cardinals to come back here in the middle of January.
What are you allowed to have signed?
Are you going to go over there?
I want to. This sounds awesome. Is there anything off the limits where you can't have signed? Like, I'm sure people bring in photos and jerseys and baseball
question.
Things. You know, is there anything oddball where they wouldn't, they'd be like, nah, I think we're going to pass on that?
I don't know.
You don't want to find out.
I'm not sitting up there. I signed a couple years ago at one of the caravans. Someone had a Camo X seat cushion from the infamous seat cushion night, which you should Google.
Oh, okay.
And I signed that for them, yeah.
The seat cushion.
That's the coolest thing I've signed, yeah.
Those Camo X nights at the ballpark are awesome.
Those are great, aren't they?
Yeah, the items that you get from there, unbelievable.
Google seat cushion night.
I will.
Trust me.
What happened that night?
Google it.
I'll just have to find out, yeah. Okay, so that's this weekend. Are you ready to get back to the ballpark? Are you feeling, are you itching
I'm
to
excited.
Get down to Florida next?
And Blues are starting to get rolling right now.
Yeah.
We'll be down in Florida in, yeah, less than a month for our daily coverage of what's going on down there. And, you know, I think people are excited. I know that around Major League Baseball, it's been maybe a bit of a slow winter in terms of some of the free agents still sitting out there. And similar to last year, we're seeing the market kind of move maybe, I don't know about more slowly than people expected, but probably than fans would like. So I know people are looking forward to seeing some of the players that are still out there find homes and see maybe free agency move a little bit more quickly. But if you're a Cardinal fan, you've got to be thrilled. I think we talked about Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller and some of the guys they're bringing back. I think there's a lot of excitement. So I'm ready. It's always fun. It's always nice to turn the calendar. Hopefully the Blues stay hot. Cardinals get going. And we've got to have one of those nice spring overlaps where the Blues make a nice deep playoff run and the Cardinals are playing. That's the absolute best. There's nothing better than that.
Unfortunately, I haven't seen that.
Yeah,
since
you
I
haven't
moved
seen
to St.
that
Louis.
Yet.
I heard it's just awesome. Awesome here for that.
It's just, and with, I think, the excitement around, you know, Major League Soccer potentially coming here.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot going on. So it's an exciting time. And, you know, seriously, like, I think if you went to this thing this weekend, you'd be blown away by the amount of people and the energy and the excitement that surrounds it.
Nothing surprises me when it comes to Cardinals and the fans out there. It's just unbelievable. Chris Raby, thank you so much for spending some time here.
Yeah, buddy.
I always like talking baseball with people that know it. I am not someone that knows baseball all that well, so you can have a conversation with me, but I'll default back to the food that you get at the ballpark and the experiences that you have. You know what I did today? This is kind of stupid. I might as well mention this because we got a minute. And coming up, I want to talk about that toxic masculinity Gillette ad that's out on the internet. But today we thought, well, we're not going to have this snow for a while. Like, it could melt off and we could get more snow. We might not, whatever it is. So we've been taking our son out to do as much sledding as possible because he enjoys it so much. Just based on how hilly St. Louis in general is, we do have a slope in our backyard. So we made a, you know, a little snow ramp. And then on top of that ramp, I took one of those kids' play sets that we have outside that has a slide on it. So he goes down the slide, down the snow ramp, down the hill. And on the bottom of the hill, I built almost like a, you know, those like curved, like you see in NASCAR, once you get towards the corners, it's kind of like the road curves up. Yeah, the banks. Yeah, snow bank. So he could kind of lean into it and keep curving to the right. Out of the maybe 15 tries of that, he made it once. Every other time he wiped out, but it was fun for him. And it was fun for me to watch. You know what I did today? So we had the dog out in the backyard. And I'm trying to show my son, he's four, how to lean into a curve. And he was really getting it. I mean, the problem was that there's only so much snow to make a bank out of. And I didn't make it high enough. And I think that was causing some of the problems why he wasn't curving too much. So the dog would jump in my lap and we would go down the hill together. My dog thought it was the greatest thing ever. Isn't that awesome? I should post a video of that online. That dog was going crazy outside. Now, the dog also, by the way, goes down slides. He's one of those dogs that you can get him up the stairs and he'll go down the slide and get some good fun out of it. I feel like in his older years, he's 12 years old, that he's at the point where he sees me playing with my son and he wants in on it. Like, he wants to do the same things. And that's kind of cool. That's a fun. In his younger years, he wasn't like that, but now he is. Okay, enough about the snow. All my fingers are chapped. My knuckles are chapped. Everything's chapped. Poor me. I know. I'm belly aching still. Let's talk about toxic masculinity, that Gillette ad that dropped yesterday. And man, I watched it and just, there's so many problems. I mean, there's just so many problems with this ad in general with a company trying to take this sort of public stand in order to market to you. You should not see something like this and say, oh yeah, they're on my side. No, no. they're not out there to contribute anything to the culture. They're out there to hopefully sway some dollars and cents to their brand. Don't trust people like this. Don't trust companies like this. We'll talk about that next. Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. You know, I wanted to talk about this whole Gillette ad that's out. And if you haven't actually seen the ad, I mean, I can give you a pretty good rundown for it. You can watch it and see it for yourself, but keep in mind it is an ad. And keep in mind advertisements are there to sell you something. It's an advertisement. So anytime an advertisement takes on some sort of social crusade, I want you to keep in mind they're using this as a way to rile you up, to either tip you to be a customer, or put themselves into the general discussion for their name to be in the news, to come up over and over and over again. And they hope that sort of exposure will lead to dollars. P&G, which is the parent company of Gillette, put an ad out which talks about toxic masculinity. And I pulled the Wall Street Journal article on this. One of the manliest brands in the men's product has hit an unusual strategy for divided times, questioning toxic masculinity. The minute, it's like a minute and a half long, the one I watched. They call it a short film or whatever. And the idea of this is we need to teach our young boys and sons and nephews and whatever it is that certain things are just not okay. And they hit on one or a couple of things. Like some things they talk about, like, you know, bullying, which I think is different from toxic masculinity. It shows, you know, a kid getting bullied through text messaging. Oh, you're a freak. You're this, you're that. And showing him hugging his mom while these other kids are running by him or whatever it is. And then they show other things like kids wrestling on the yard while there's a lineup of guys barbecuing. And it's a big, long lineup as if they're trying to be super artsy, like they're going for Sundance or something stupid like that. And it shows all the guys, they got the spatulas in their hand. There's burgers and brats and hot dogs on the grill. And they're just all standing there like they're robots. I must grill. Boys will be boys. You know, the boys are just wrestling on the grass. My goodness. And they're probably about 10 years old. As if two boys wrestling at that age is going to lead them down the path of something toxic. In fact, we've actually had experts on this radio program that talked about the benefit of fathers wrestling with their kids. I asked for him to be back on the show. I hope he can join us here, but let me give you the synopsis of what he said. He said, imagine a home, you know, mother, father, whatever it is, and you got the father wrestling with the boy, and the mom's watching and saying, you're going to hurt him. Don't do that. Oh, you're gonna, these guys are going to get in trouble. Don't break this. So the father and the boy wrestle, and he says there's a couple of very important things that the boy learns by doing that. He said, number one, they learn empathy. They learn that when you're playing around with another kid or you're playing around with your father, whatever it is, if you go too far and someone gets hurt, you got to stop. They also learn that when you're overpowering someone and you take control of it, whatever it is, they realize you're going to be in a position where, yeah, you might be the dominant one, but you're not going to be the one that's purposely trying to hurt them. You got to learn when to hold them, when to fold them. That's just part of growing up and learning these things. And he also pointed out that, let's say the father is absent in the home for whatever circumstance, moms don't wrestle with the kids. They miss out on experiences like that. So there's a lot of things that boys experience growing up. Let it be with their fathers, let it be with their other brothers, let it be with their friends, whatever it is. These experiences actually help them. It's not something that detracts from their experiences as a kid. It's actually something that they grow from. So if you were to take little things like that out and take these as a side and try to make it look like it's a negative, you're completely wrong. I do not think that a bunch of 10-year-olds getting together, friends or brothers or whatever, and playing rough with each other on the yard is something that's going to be detrimental to the future of our country because of toxic masculinity. You know, and they show things like, okay, there's a guy out, I don't know, him and his buddy are out. It's a big urban area. They're in a big city or whatever it is. And a girl walks by and he looks and says, ooh, like he's going to go try to talk to this girl. And the other guy stops him and says, come on, dude, not cool. What? What? Okay, you can take that one way, you can take that another. But just tell me, putting that in an ad, what's the purpose of you going out in putting all of these things together and trying to put your stamp on the things that you believe is toxic masculinity and also interpreting it in a way that you know you're going to try to appeal to a certain demographic in hopes to make some ad sales? What else was in that ad? There was, I don't know. They had a couple of different things. Like, here's an example of it. Let me play part of it.
We believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
Smile, sweetie. Come on.
To say the right thing.
All right, so when he's saying smile, sweetie, they're at a pool party or whatever, and the guy's trying to take a picture of some girl or whatever. So they're all out in a bunch of guys and girls. It looks like they're college-aged. They're drinking. It's a pool scenario. Guys are wearing their swimsuits. Girls are wearing their swimsuits. And it shows a picture of a guy saying, smile, sweetie, like he's taking a picture of her. And so they've used that as one of the examples.
To act the right way.
Bro, not cool. Not cool.
Some already are. In ways big.
Yo, men, we're
and small.
All right. So, you know, they say little things. They have their commentary and they try to put these certain examples out there. This is all, to me, so hypocritical of just the process of how these companies try to inject themselves inside of a larger discussion of what's going on. So instead of taking individual situations, you say it's all bad. Instead of looking at the Harvey Weinsteins of the world and say, you know what's probably a bad idea? When you use your power in the industry to lure young women into a private setting and tell them in order to advance their career, they have to sexually gratify you. Maybe that's something we should be talking about. Maybe that's a bad thing because widely ignored for decades. But, you know, all of a sudden it's in the discussion. Maybe this is where we'll strike and try to make some money off of it. And you can look at individual scenarios, but they bring up these stupid ones in this ad that I think they're way beyond reason at this point. And when you hear some of these things and you see these things, it's a complete turnoff for me. As soon as some national brand tries to evangelize that they are the ones that know where society should go, they are the ones that are trying to dictate the way you act and the way you think, I'm going to look at that and I'm going to do whatever I can not to patronize those companies because it has the exact opposite effect on me. You know what the best thing you can do if you're a brand? I think sit it out. Don't try to make yourself look like you're on a moral high ground because you're not, because it's an artificial high ground. You made this video as if you have never done anything bad in your past. We're going to be the ones to look down on you on our golden frothy throne of whatever type of shaving cream we make. And we're going to be the ones to lecture you because, you know, we're the ones that made this video. So obviously we're the ones that know what's right and wrong. We are the authority on that. You're not the authority. You're just stupid. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Here, like Greg Gutfeld. Oh, I love Greg Gutfeld. Let me play for you what he brought up on The Five.
It's almost as if the people who make products for men hate men. So what is Gillette really trying to sell? Is it razors or itself? As the company loses market share to Dollar Shave Club, Gillette makes an ad that shafts the company's key audience just to score a few virtue points with the social justice mob. They say they're sparking conversation, but that's what they call it when they tie you to a chair and shout accusations at you, then ask you for money. Mm. But how enlightened is Gillette, really? Look at these razors. The blue is for males, and the pink is for females. Talk about enforcing gender stereotypes. Now, the cowardly media, scared of the social media mob, backs the ad. Meanwhile, everybody else hates it. And Gillette will say it's because the ad spotlights bad male behavior, and we insecure rubes, we just can't handle it. No, it's because the ad sucks.
Greg Gutfeld, bravo. Oh, I love Greg Gutfeld. He's one of my favorite personalities. So as P&G puts this out, they continue to push it. It's doing exactly what they hoped it would. You know, got me to talk about it on this radio program. I don't think they care if people talk about it in a negative light. All they care about is, hey, their name's out there. And that's a good thing. because no one's talking about Gillette and they're continuing to lose to these other alternative services. Dollar Shave Club has been very aggressive in the way that they've marketed themselves. And they realize that this old traditional way that they've been marketing themselves hasn't worked. So why don't we inject ourselves into some sort of social cause in hopes to garner some social points, perhaps? Whatever Greg Gutfeld, whatever phrase he said there was perfect. Social brownie points or something like that. If you get your values from a Gillette ad, you're an idiot. This is Overnight America, KMOX. America, we continue. Producer Mike, you were asking me about the game. You were here running the game. The Blues played the Islanders, and I guess the arena over there, I had no idea, was a terrible arena. It's got to be the worst in the league that where the Islanders play.
Well, it's the worst for hockey, that's for sure.
Yeah. I've seen some really poor arenas in my day. You're saying that the broadcast booth it's like an impromptu shanty they set up?
Well, so the problem with the Barclays Center is it was built with no intention of being a hockey rink, right? It was built for the Brooklyn Nets and mainly concerts.
What
as a
year?
Music venue.
Is it a new venue?
It's
or
very new. Very new. Whoa. And the Islanders had some bust in a stadium deal. They're building a new one now near Belmont Racetrack, but it won't be done for another couple of years, so they're temporarily at the Barclays Center.
Wait, so they don't have broadcast booth for the NBA inside that center? Like, how would they not just double up the regular broadcast booth for the Nets?
I have no idea what the situation is for the NBA. I don't run those games, but I yeah. know that, Curbs and Joey Vitale were about 20 rows up tonight. I guess they just have a impromptu table behind the first bowl of seats. I don't know, in the walkway. And
that's terrible.
They said they weren't even centered at center ice. They were in the Blues zone.
Oh, that's insane. Do they do that for all the broadcast crews? That's insane to me.
Yeah, it's a terrible setup for hockey. I actually went to the Blues-Islanders game there 2 years ago, and it's from literally a quarter of the seats, there's obstructed view to where you can't even see one of the nets.
Oh, it's so terrible.
It's awful.
That reminds me of...
The Jumbotron hangs over one of the zones rather than center ice.
Ugh. Whoever designed that... thought this
would
be a good idea.
Well, it just wasn't made for hockey.
But still, it's terrible. I've seen better setups at high school games than that. And you know what? There's some pretty terrible high school setups, too, where the broadcaster is basically in a chair or in the seat itself.
Plus, you walked in tonight and you noticed the first thing you notice is one of the most ridiculous things. You say, oh, look at that giant Honda.
Yeah, the big giant Honda sign in the background. Like,
well, there's just a car too,
and there's a car sitting there. Let me tell you one setup. I went to a game once in Toledo, Ohio. It was the Walleye. They weren't called the Walleye at the time, but they were the minor league team that was in Toledo. And the arena was garbage. Let me tell you what happened. So, in order to get to the locker room, they have to walk through the concourse. So the players, when they exit the bench, go through the concourse. And they have people, you know, stopping the flow of movement so the players can
dangerous.
Go through. Then the actual home bench, it's a bench, and it wasn't long enough. So they have a second row of bench, which is the first row of seating for the fans. But in order to do that, they had to take the boards down so there was no glass that separated the home team from the fans. So you had first row of bench, not enough to home the hockey team. The next row, where they took out the front row of seating and put a bench there, and then no glass behind it. It was a dump.
That's insane.
Dump, dump, dump. They tore that down probably in 2006. Yeah, about 2006, and they built a new arena that's beautiful there. But I was able to see it at least once, and it was a joke.
And that was in Toledo, you said?
Yeah, Toledo.
Do you think they still use that rink for their minor league hockey?
No, they built a brand new arena when they got the ECHL affiliate, I think it was, the Walleye, but it was the team that was the predecessor to that. It was some dump in the middle of nowhere. If you were to drive by it, it looks like a discount grocery store. You wouldn't think it's a hockey arena. Lots of parking. I mean, they had a giant parking lot. The only thing they did right was put pavement on the ground. You know, talking about sports. Thank you, Mike Anderson. Talking about sports, Bob Costas and NBC are quietly and officially broken up. The New York Post reported this. I think they got the scoop on it. And he talked to the New York Post. He said it all settled quietly and happily for all concerned. Bob Costas will continue on the Major League Baseball Network. We should get him back here to KMOX. Man, wouldn't that be great? You know who started broadcasting over in Cleveland? I think it's WTAM, which is a big news talk station out there. Geraldo Rivera has a weekly or a daily show. I think it's like an hour long or maybe 2 hour long during the day. And it just goes back to your roots of broadcasting. Wouldn't that be cool if Costas picked up a couple of, picked up a show here on KMOX? And this is my open invitation. Bob, if you want to co-host Overnight America, we'd be happy to have you here. You can go do Major League Baseball. I mean, you can continue your duties. And then, you know, the days you have off, if you just want to pop in here, that'd be cool. The Post reported in late August that NBC and Costas were discussing how to settle the final years on his multi-million dollar contract. Costas has triggered a so-called Brokaw Clause in 2012, which made him emeritus to NBC Sports. He's been their number one for a long time in baseball. Hasn't been so much in football lately. They say that part of his commentary on concussions in football may have led to the network backing off of him in their NFL coverage. But he's been with them since, was it 1979? Yeah, long, long time. He's done World Series. He's done Olympics. He's done the Super Bowl, NBA Finals, Triple Crown. But let's not forget that about 20% of our KMOX archives is anything Costas touched. If you go back into the archives, when I started researching it, it was so much Costas. It's anything Jack Buck or Bob Costas they kept. You know how your parents hold on to your report cards, or if you had a really cool piece of artwork, or even if it was finger painting back to when you were a kid and you wonder, Mom, Dad, why in the world would you keep this? That's KMOX with Bob Costas. He could have sneezed on air and they would have kept a tape of it because it's Bob Costas. Open invitation, Bob, if you ever want to come and do the show with me here, would love to do it. One more. Well, we got a minute here. I saw this from NBC News. You know, there's a list of the worst 100 passwords. Do you want to hear some of them? Tell me if anyone uses these passwords, you need to change them. On the list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. People put that as your password. Oh, and then the word password is definitely on there. Other lousy passwords include 1111. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Admin. Ooh, that's a common one. Admin you see all over the place. You know, the password admin gets you in a lot of trouble. That's the default for a lot of pieces of equipment, routers and things. And that's where they found a lot of people could break into your router and start getting some sensitive data from you, is because they don't change the default password for that thing. Oh, I love you is another one. Welcome, 123ABC. Almost 10% of computer users in North America have at least one of the 25 worst passwords on the list. That is insane to me. You have to create a strong password. You have to. And if you have any reservation for doing that because you think you can't remember it, there's devices that you can use to help remember it. I don't have to give you any ones particular, mostly because you'll ignore them anyway. But let me just tell you this. It is absolutely worth your time to actually do something, because the last thing you want is some punk kid getting in and stealing all your sensitive data if it wasn't already being sold up the river from some of these tech companies that were acquiring it anyway. Don't give them any more reason to do it. All right, so coming up next, has the media lost their mind? Well, the answer is yes. I got two great examples for you. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Oh, it's such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores. Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.